Good morning, and welcome to this service of worship at Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm Dee Dee Roberts, one of the pastors here. My colleague Nick Shimmer will be along shortly to preach the word to us and interpret God's presence among us. Being here in the WAC reminds me a little bit of when Michael and I were first married. I got all dressed up for a nice date, and we ended up at McDonald's. Not that McDonald's is bad, and it was a wonderful date, but it just wasn't quite what I was dressed for. So if you see me in my robe this morning in the WAC, and that seems a little bit of a conflict, it's not really, but we have had some technical difficulties this morning. We've pivoted again. Brother Nick will be along in just his shirt sleeves. I just decided to keep my robe on. So we'll have a little bit of fun with our difficulties this morning. What would a week of snow, ice, blizzard be without one more difficulty? And this time with Wi-Fi in the building. At any rate, we are so glad you're here, so happy to be together to worship God. And I invite you now to join with me in a word of prayer. This will be on our screens and available to you. This is a prayer of confession that as we enter into the Lenten season, we want to pray together. So let us pray. Most merciful God, whose Son Jesus Christ was tempted in every way, yet without sin, we confess before you that we have sinned. We have hungered after that which does not satisfy. We have compromised with evil. We have doubted your power to protect us. Forgive our lack of faith. Have mercy on our weakness. Restore in us such love and trust that we may walk in your ways and delight in doing your will now and forever. Amen. And now with our hearts prepared and our spirits open, let us worship God.
Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. How happy are the saints above who once went sorrowing here, but now they taste unmingled love and joy without a tear. The consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me.
Morning. I hope everyone is doing well today. I am recording this from home on a very snowy Wednesday, but it's a special Wednesday. Today is Ash Wednesday. So besides thinking about snow and all those kinds of things, I'm thinking about the season of Lent. So I'm going to change out of my snow jacket and I'm going to put on a jacket that reminds me that today we are beginning Lent. And Lent is a time of preparation where we prepare for the most special holiday of the Christian church, Easter. And Easter is more than just chicks and chocolate bunnies. Easter is the day that Jesus Christ arose from the grave. He lived again. Hallelujah. We are so happy that Easter Sunday is coming again, that we will be able to turn our hearts from all of the everyday jobs and responsibilities. And during Lent, we're thinking about what Jesus wants us to do and how he wants us to live. So I made a special craft, and I think you can make one at home. I know you all like to cut and paste and glue, and this is a pretty easy craft, but it's a Lent craft. So I'm going to show it to you now. I made a paper chain. Not just any paper chain, but this is one that symbolizes the season of Lent. It starts with Ash Wednesday, so I made it a black paper loop. And tonight, I am going to tear this off. And when I do, I'm going to say a special prayer. After the black one, I have chains, purple chains, leading up to Sunday. It's actually Sunday today when you're watching this. So every night, I am going to tear off a loop, and I'm going to say a special prayer. Lent is made up of 40 days. Jesus wandered in the wilderness for 40 days, and Lent is 40 days long. Now, that does not include Sundays, because we usually think about Jesus on Sundays. However, during the week, sometimes we forget. We get really busy, and we forget. So during Lent, I'm going to tear off one of these lengths every night, and when I do, I'm going to say a special prayer, thanking Jesus for coming to the earth, for bringing us light, for showing us the way, and for the sacrifices that he made for us. I'm going to tear all of these off, and as I do, the days are going to be getting longer because it's spring, and that means there's more light. So I'm going to be reminded that Jesus was the light of the world, and he brought special light into our lives. The very last loop on my paper chain is white and gold, and this will be Easter Sunday when I get there. So I hope that you have fun making a Lent paper chain, and I hope most of all that it will be a reminder to you that during this season of Lent, we are focusing more on how Jesus wants us to live. And every day we have an opportunity to do better and to thank him more. So blessings to you. I look forward to celebrating Lent with you, the Holy Week with you, and Easter with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Genesis 9, 8 through 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And then God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all of the living creatures of every kind. Never again will the water become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, This is the sign of the covenant I've established between me and all life on earth.
I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. Yeah, I see it now, I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, oh. You saw my condition, had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart. And I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, oh. Again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 my heart has been in your sights long before my first breath, running into your arms is running to life from death, and I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in, and I know I need you now. So I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. And my heart found a surgeon, my soul found a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again.
I'm Lexi Bowes. I'm going to be reading Psalms 25. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Don't let me be put to shame. Don't let my enemies win the battle over me. Those who put their hope in you will never be put to shame. But those who lie to other people for no reason will be put to shame. Lord, show me your ways. Teach me how to follow you. Guide me in your truth. Teach me. You are God, my Savior. I put my hope in you all day long. Lord, remember your great mercy and love. You have shown them to your people for a long time. Don't remember the sins I committed when I was young. Don't remember how often I refused to obey you. Remember me because you love me, Lord. You are good. The Lord is honest and good. He teaches sinners to walk in his ways. He shows those who aren't proud how to do what is right. He teaches them his ways. All the Lord's ways are loving and faithful toward those who obey what his convenient commands. Lord, be true to your name.
Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. Amen, Lexi. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that beautiful psalm with us this morning. A big thank you to Nathan Hoff for giving us the covenant story between God and Noah, and for Marcy Hall for that beautiful children's message. I'm so thankful for everyone that came together this week to make this worship service, the first Sunday in Lent, so special. At 9:58, we were sitting in the sanctuary with robes on, ready to go and ready to deliver what I think is a beautiful Lenten service, and then something happened that we didn't expect, and so we had to pivot quickly. A huge thank you to the guys back in our sound booth, the Caleb, Diana, for being so adjustable, and we are just thankful to be with you this morning. Dee Dee is right. I shook my robe for whack wear. At least that's what I call it. You can get whack wear at any pastoral clothing outlet. But it's a joy and a blessing to be with you this morning. It is the first Sunday in Lent. We have just passed through Ash Wednesday, and we are now on our road together to the cross. It is a season of anticipation for us as Christians. And just like a season of anticipation we came out of Advent, where we were awaiting the arrival of our Messiah, we are now in a season of anticipation that is going to end in death. The end of the Lenten season is Good Friday into Saturday, and then we hit Sunday morning, we hit Easter, and it's time to celebrate our risen Lord. But over these next 30-some days, as we move from now to Easter, don't get so caught up in the death. It's a critical part. Our Savior has to die on the cross. There can be no other way. But as the great 80s rock band Foreigner so astutely pointed out, I want to know what love is, and I want you to show me. Well, over this Lenten season, our Savior Jesus Christ is going to show us what limitless, unending, unwavering love looks like. And so I hope as we move from mourning, M-O-U-R-I-N-G, to mourning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G, during this season, that you truly feel the love and passion of our Savior Jesus Christ. It's an honor, and I am humbled to bring today's message. But before we do that, please join me as we go to God in a word of prayer. Gracious, loving God, we give thanks to you for this day. For as we stand here before you as a Christian community, the ashes still remain on our forehead. Maybe not literally, maybe we have washed those off. But the ashes of our existence remain in us, for it is out of dust that you created us, but it was from your sweet, loving breath that we were given life. And so this morning, on this first Sunday of the Lenten season, we give thanks to you for your creation, for the creation of us personally, for the creation of our neighbors, for this beautiful earth that we are the caretakers of. We give thanks to you for the creation of all the saints who have come before us and for all those who will come after us. But we want to recognize the moment, God. We are all here now, together, for a purpose. We all come from different places. We all come together this morning in different conditions, with different worries and concerns, with different hurts and troubles, with different joys. But God, you know in each of us what is in our hearts, and you know exactly what we need. So we ask this morning that as we gather to hear your word, as we huddle together around this gospel lesson, that you breathe into us what you are calling us to be in this moment. God, this morning we have so much to pray for. We have so many to pray for. We pray for all of those who have been impacted by these winter storms. We pray for those who are without power. We pray for those who are without warmth. We pray for our brothers and sisters who do not have a roof over their head today. May you be their comfort, God. May you be their warmth. And may they seek refuge in your embrace. God, we give you thanks this morning for the warmth of sunshine as it begins to wash away the snow and the ice. May the sunshine forever be the warmth on our face. May your wind always be at our back. God, we pray this morning for our nation. We pray for our leaders, both federal and local. May they be guided by your will as they seek to make decisions for this country. We continue to pray this morning, God, for doctors, for nurses, for frontline medical workers, for all of those who are on the front lines of fighting this virus. May you continue to be with them, though they may be weary. May they receive strength from you. And God, we pray this morning for our community right here at Asbury. We pray for Nate Hill. We pray for Jean Beth Hill. We pray for Clifford Smith and Jesselyn Sinkhorn. We pray for June Glazier, for Hugh Roberts. We pray for Joyce Dennis, Herb Skiles. And we also pray for the bishop and the cabinet during what is no doubt a challenging appointment season. And God, we pray for all of those in our community, both here at Asbury and around the world, who are hurting, who are lost, who are in pain, who are angry. God, we ask that you are with them, that you deliver exactly what they need through your will. And God, we pray for all of those who are on the tops of our hearts, the tips of our tongue, the tops of our minds. And God, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May we journey with him in this season of Lent, not with trepidation, but with desire, with passion. May we not crawl to the cross, Lord. May we run to the cross. You see that love. We give you thanks. And we pray to you, God, this morning by joining our voices together in the Lord's Prayer, which your Son taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Mark. It is chapter 1. It is verses 9 through 15. Portions of this are going to sound familiar because we've spent a decent amount of time in Mark chapter 1 so far this year. But there is a critical moment that we're going to unpack together today. So hear now the word of God, and then we will get into it. Starting in verse 9, at that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And the voice came from heaven, You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, if Luke and Matthew are the sweeping novelists, if they are the War and Peace type writers when it comes to the gospel narrative, then Mark is without a doubt the great short story writer. This gospel writing is so action-packed. It is so fast-paced. In fact, so much so, it can be so easy to get caught up in that fast-paced action and quickly move through the gospel without taking time to stop and truly reflect and meditate on what Jesus is doing or what Mark is showing us in this gospel. And it becomes especially exaggerated with Mark because he absolutely loves to use the word euthaos, which is a Greek word meaning immediately. You may also see it in your Bibles as soon as, or right away, or in the version I read this morning, at once. As a matter of fact, Mark uses this term, euthaos, 42 times in his gospel account. Mark is a man, as a writer, who was about the action, about the movement, about the quick pace of Jesus Christ. If Luke and Matthew wrote the Titanic movie, then Mark wrote a 90-minute action-packed Transformers movie. But here's where this can be dangerous, and I always warn about this and think about this when we're in the gospel according to Mark during the lectionary year, is that we can move through it so quickly that we tend to miss things. I want you to think about what we just read in 6 verses. We read about 3 major events in 6 very short verses. We read about our Savior's baptism. We read about his temptation in the wilderness at the hands of Satan and the beginning of his ministry and his public call to repentance. Now, we can't do all 3 of these stories justice today. And so we'll focus primarily on the temptation of Jesus Christ, which is customary for the first Sunday in Lent. But I want to talk for a moment about time, because time is important, especially to those of us who live in the West. For those of us who live in America, time is everything. In fact, time is money, baby, and we've heard that a million times. Be on time. If you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. What time do you want me to be there tomorrow? What time are you going to call me? We are fixated on the calendar time that we live by. For us in the West, There's only 24 hours in a day, so how could we possibly fit everything we need to do in such a short amount of time? It's how we live, and I'm as bad as anybody. I am very much a structured and time-oriented person. If you tell me that you're going to meet me at 9 a.m., do not be there at 9:05. I struggle with that, and I know many of you do too. But time in the biblical narrative is very, very different. Because in the Greek language, they actually had two words for time. The first word that they often used was called chronos. And so it's where we get the term chronology. But that was their reference to what we refer to as time. So it was things moving in a succinct order. It was day, it was minutes and hours and days and calendars. It was how they measured time. And when you came across that word in the Bible, when you come across chronos, they are talking about specific time. But they also have a word for time in the Bible that they call kairos. Kairos is a very, very different measurement of time. In fact, it is a measurement of time that is predominantly used around the world. And as opposed to referring to the hands on a clock, the hour hands and the second hands, what kairos refers to is seasons. The seasons of our existence, the seasons of our life that we will go through. What we are seeing in Mark's gospel when we read it improperly is we read it with chronos. We sweep through it quickly without stopping to enjoy and to live into the kairos, the seasons of the events of the life of our Savior. Just a little over a month ago, we had Baptism of the Lord Sunday. We talked about the baptism at the River Jordan, Jesus by John. There's two brief things that I will touch on with that before we get into the temptation, because both of them are extremely important. First of all, this is one of the first moments of Trinitarian unity that you see in the gospel. As Jesus is baptized, as Jesus comes out of the water, he is there, he is joined by the Spirit. The Spirit comes down upon him, and God is present. And he looks down and he says, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." That is a direct statement, is a direct action statement, and it fits Mark that he uses "you." Because you will read in another gospel narrative that he will say, "This is my beloved Son." But in Mark, he says, you are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. But after the baptism is complete, there's no time for a baptismal party. There's no time for photo ops. There's no time for a potluck. The Spirit immediately whisks Jesus away into the wilderness, where he will spend 40 days enduring some of the worst temptation possible. This 40 days is a parallel to the Israelites wandering for 40 years, and it represents a season. Both references, both the Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and Jesus in the Judean wilderness in this time of temptation, represent an immense test of faithfulness and an absolute promise of deliverance. It's important to see those parallels when you're looking at the two stories. Where the people of Israel fell short, quickly turned to idols, Jesus is faced with the opportunity to make a choice. And that's right, I did say a choice. Too often we can read this temptation story and we can see Jesus as some type of God-bot, some robotic divine figure out there being tempted by Satan, just willing to go, "Nah, nah, nah." But that wouldn't make for much of a Savior, would it? To understand Jesus is to see him as fully divine and to see him as fully human. As Jesus is out there in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, he has every opportunity to choose the world. What does it say about him that instead he chooses us? Mark doesn't say much about Satan's temptation of Jesus. In fact, he only gives it two verses in his entire gospel. But see, this is where the entire gospel is important. This is where all four of these letters come together. Because it takes all four of these writers to even give us just the slightest glimpse into the majesty that was Christ's earthly ministry. Satan doesn't seek to harm Christ physically. What Satan does is he goes immediately after his soul and after his self-worth. Luke elaborates a little bit further on the temptation story when he says, "Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. He says, I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them. The devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please, I will give it to you if you will worship me. Jesus replied, the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It's the word of God speaking the word of God. But here's the amazing thing about Satan, and not amazing in a good way. He responds by saying, if you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Yes, Satan knows scripture too. Jesus is quick to reply with the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. Satan went after Jesus in three ways. He went after basic needs. You've been out here for 40 days, man. You have to be starving. Prove that you're as powerful as you say you are and turn this stone into bread. He went after his self-esteem, went after his ego, and said, prove yourself. If you really are the Son of God, prove yourself. Throw yourself off this building. Because as it says in the scriptures, the angels will catch you and carry you away. What do you have to worry about? And then the last thing, and the most dangerous thing for many of us, is Satan says, you know, you can have it all if you just bow down to me. And Jesus responds to this offer of worldly power with the greatest defense he can offer, which is the word of God. Like I said, it's the word of God speaking the word of God. Jesus fully equipped to rebuke temptation by laying out God's will. We do not put God to the test. We do not worship any gods other than the one true God. You know, for us as Christians and as broken humans, I wish our baptism equated to a life of easiness. I wish that we could just pop up metaphorically out of the Jordan and that we would be whisked away into a life of ease, into a life of comfort, into a life of just having everything not only that we want, but that we feel we probably deserve. But life doesn't work that way. Even when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, even when we give our heart and soul over to our Lord, even when our head is touched with the baptismal waters of regeneration, we still find ourselves in the wilderness. And we find ourselves in different stages of wilderness throughout our lives. We find Satan whispering in our ear, offering the same things he offered Jesus. You don't need God. You don't need his word. You don't need a church community. And you certainly don't need that cross. This world has everything you could ever want, everything you ever need. Just turn to me, and I'll make sure you have it all. But like Jesus, we are given a choice. Jesus could have chosen differently. But that's the power. That's the power in the Son of God, is that he can look at this vast world which has everything you could want, all the comforts that you could want, all the money that you could want. And he was able to look at it. The Son of God, one who should have probably been in a palace if we went by worldly standards, has said, no, thank you. I'll choose my Lord over all of that. For Jesus to live the sinless, blameless life, he had to have the opportunity to go the other way. And he chose God. We have three critical elements, three critical aspects of our life that Satan cannot stand against. We have a loving Father who is the great promise keeper. You heard that in Nathan's reading, God's covenant with Noah. We have the Son, the living Word of God, who paid dearly for our souls. And we have an advocate, the Holy Spirit, who is walking with us through the wilderness of our lives. And yes, things may feel amazing today. Life may be going exactly the way you want it. But I promise you, there's another wilderness just on the horizon. But if you trust in the Lord, if you follow Jesus Christ, and if you are guided by the Holy Spirit, then the kairos, the seasons of your life where you find yourself in the wilderness, in the moments of temptation, the moments of hunger, whether it's physical hunger or spiritual hunger or emotional hunger, if you allow yourself to be guided by the Spirit, if you don't hesitate, if you don't tentatively crawl to the cross, but run to the cross because you know without Jesus Christ, you are nothing. You will always walk through the wilderness. And you'll be surprised what you come out like on the other side. Because whether it's through your successes, your failures, your times of lost, and your times of being found, God is working to reshape you through all of those moments, and what you come out as on the other side is exactly who God has intended you to be. So my friends, during this season of Lent, from now to Good Friday and on to Easter, I invite you to not walk, crawl, or stumble to the cross. I invite you to run to the cross, and let's run there together. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As the band comes back, and the band, which is our two, please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks to you today for your word, for the life that it breathes into our soul, for our Savior Jesus Christ, who is able to go into the wilderness and show us that we can say no to the temptations of the world. That as we give our hearts and our souls over to him, that we, as we are guided by the Holy Spirit, the things of the world, the trappings of the world, just do not look desirable. And so we ask today that you reshape us, God, that you change us through this message, through the music, into the disciples you call us to be. We ask all this in your Son's beautiful name. Amen.
Tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home, you who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. not his mercies, mercies for you and for me. Come home, you who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon for you and for me. Come home, you who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come.
What a wonderful service of worship we have shared together this morning. Even with a little late and rocky start, we have been blessed by the power and presence of Christ, by the word of Christ, so ably and inspiring through the proclamation that Brother Nick gave us this morning, and our music, which has lifted our spirits and reminds us of Christ's call on our lives. Well, friends, this is the end of our service of worship today. It is not the end of activities and ministry happening here at Asbury, however. This afternoon at from 2 to 2:30, children are invited to come with their parents and receive a special gift bag for Lent from the church. This was meant to be passed out last Sunday, but the weather just prohibited us. So come by this afternoon from 2 to 2:30, and Ms. Amber will be out in the parking lot. You can do a circle. It is safe, and we'll be glad to see you. The other thing is at 11:15 today, we'll have Sunday school on Facebook Live. I'll be teaching about the temptation, so I hope that you will join me there. And our story, which has been premiering at 7 p.m., will be postponed one more week because of the need to be apart this week with the snowstorm. Friends, we are blessed. We are warm. We are fed. Above all else, we are together, under the care and power of our Lord and Savior. So as we end this service of worship, hear these words of benediction. May the peace of Christ wrap around you like a warm blanket. May the Holy Spirit be as real to you as the warm drink in your hand. And may the voice of God be as loud in your ear as the voice of the one sitting next to you. And may all of it bring you comfort and encouragement and strength for the journey ahead. May you walk with Christ through this Lenten season. Amen.